Good afternoon and welcome to Tom Harris USA, episode number 24. This is Tom Harris in beautiful, and I do mean beautiful, Chicago, Illinois. It's 82 degrees today, but it's not humid, and there's a nice breeze. It's just gorgeous day for being outside. And in fact, before I did the show today, I was out and about. I went down to the local park, which is called Loyola Park. Well, actually, part of it is called Loyola Park. Another part of it is called something else. But it really is kind of the same park, and it stretches for about a mile along the lakefront. The part nearest to me is Loyola Park. So called because at the far southern end of the park is Loyola University. Anyway, I was out and about today, and it was really nice out. Went down there to see what was going on, because on nice days, there's quite frequently a lot of people hanging out down by the lake and enjoying the beach, etc. And I was really surprised. Yeah, I was down there about 11:30, 12 o'clock. There's hardly anybody down there. Very strange, especially for such a nice day. And a Saturday is when I'm recording this. And not very many people down there. Normally there's a lot of people with dogs or, you know, this and that. And I don't know why. Because normally there would be more. And, you know, go down there and people watch or just hang out and sit in the sun or whatever. The only group of people of any size down there was a group of the local crack dealers and their crack hoes. And I'm not kidding by that. I actually am serious. It was some of the local lowlife hanging down there. But, yeah, so, I mean, that's the kind of neighborhood I live in, though. And we kind of all know who those people are. But at least that means that they weren't up at the corner, you know, selling crack. They were down at the park having a little, you know, crack hoe picnic or something. So, anyway, that's what's going on today. Nice, relaxing Saturday morning. So in the last episode, I was talking a little bit about genealogy, and there were a couple things that I didn't mention. I was kind of running short on time. You know, last episode was about a minute over my preferred target of 30 minutes. So I was kind of trying to wrap it up, and I guess I really kind of forgot to mention a couple things that I should have mentioned. So I'll just kind of touch on that. Yeah, I can hear people go, oh, no, more boring genealogy talk. Well, you know, not everybody is going to think that it's boring. It's just most people. Anyway, one of the things that gets a lot of people into genealogy is they get into it in the hope that they are descended from royalty or from somebody famous or somebody remarkable. And 99% of the time, that doesn't happen. My cousin John famously said that his father's side of the family is a long line of washerwomen and farmhands. And a lot of people, you're going to find that. You know, if you're lucky enough to be able to trace your genealogy to somebody famous, well, then you're very lucky. And what usually happens is it is sort of a snowball effect because those people tend to marry into other famous families. So, you know, once you find one, you generally tend to find more. But that doesn't always happen. And on my mother's side, in fact, the side that is Czech, there really isn't anybody all that well known. There's you know, probably up until the 20th century, they're completely unknown. Then, of course, then my grandfather's generation, some of my great uncles are quite well known in their respective fields. My grandfather was a well known metallurgist. His brothers were also metallurgists, and I have a great uncle who was a famous rose breeder. So it kind of, you know, they're kind of famous within their own little sphere of influence. Now, my father's side, it's a very different story because we go right back to pre-colonial, really. When I say pre-colonial, I don't mean, you know, before the colonists arrived, because we are, you know, mainly English. But they were there before, way before America was a country. Yeah, they were there, you know, well before the 1700s and the 1600s. We had a couple people came on the Mayflower and so forth. But the one of the things that I just wanted to bring up is that what you find isn't always going to be exciting, but you should be happy that you found it. And especially if you're not from a family that is well known or famous or whatever, because those are the people who are hard to find. So it's actually more interesting in a lot of ways that you don't have anybody famous, because it actually is harder to do research. You find somebody famous, it becomes a lot more easy to do research. It is quite an achievement, and you should be happy with what you find. And I know that occasionally I'll hear people say, if you look on your family tree, eventually you're going to find some bad apples. Or if you're going to search on your family tree, eventually you're going to find a noose. and that is true. In a lot of instances, it is. And there's certainly people in my family tree who were not the nicest people. Yeah. And you do find these things. So, be happy with what you find. I think that's a good message to put out there for those people who are out there doing research. Okay, well, I have a couple of emails I'd like to get to today. I had an email from the Mystery Woman, who I mentioned a couple of shows back. Mystery Woman being in London. Oh, I can't believe a month from now, I will be in the UK. Yay! I'm looking forward to that. Anyway, she said that being on my mention of her on my show made her feel a little bit famous and also was a little bit scary. There's no reason to be scared, dear. No, we're all friends here. Don't be scared. You're welcome to write to me anytime you want, and if you want to participate in the show, please, please feel free. And that goes for everybody, in fact, and you can reach the show by writing to tom@tomharrisusa.com. You can also write to harrispodcast@gmail.com. Richard in Florida, Rich Castelli, who I mentioned a couple of episodes ago. Rich was a former coworker of mine at Plaza News. We did some peace concerts together. Anyway, Richard writes, "Hey Tom, thanks for the mention in the newest podcast. I was really just fucking with you. Didn't expect any free publicity. Hey, that's what I'm here for. You got publicity as long as I'm here. But it was nice to be reminded of good times. 5 peace concerts, eh? More than I remembered." Actually, I was wrong about that, Rich. There were only 4. There was Peace in 84, which is the first one, the one that we collaborated on the poster for, as you may remember. Actually, yeah, I should forget to mention this. Rich actually can draw as well. And he was doing this little underground-type cartoon back when we worked together that was kind of cool. I think it was called, is it Stan Slade, the Singing Detective? Was that what it was? It was very sort of furry Freak Brothers underground comic sort of thing, which I thought was really, really fun. And, so there were really only 4. We had one in 84, we had Peace in 85, and then because we had another one in 85, there were 2, one in the spring and one in the fall, if I recall rightly. And I didn't want to call it Peace in 85 2 or More Peace in 85 or something like that. So we called it Peace in the Park. And then we continued the numbering on in 86 with Peace in the Park 4. And that was the last one. Rich goes on to say, "I've been enjoying the podcast. What prompted you to start it?" Well, it's kind of a long story, but in a nutshell, I'd been thinking about doing something in the public venue for a while, and I've been thinking about doing little short YouTube videos on various topics. But I, looking at YouTube, I'm seeing that a lot of people are doing the same kind of thing better. So I kind of gave up on that idea. Plus, I have a face for radio. So I kind of gave up on the YouTube idea pretty quick. And then I was kind of starting to listen to podcasts, and I heard Chris Reardon's show. And decided, that seems like a pretty cool idea, and started to participate in Chris's show, writing emails and so forth, and it's like, that actually looks kind of fun, so let's give it a go. And Chris was very encouraging by that, and that brings me to where I am today. Rich goes on, it makes me think of starting one with Joe. When we get together and play bitch about the lack of rocket packs in our future, we're fairly entertaining. Yeah, Rich, go for it. Absolutely go for it. You could even, you know, put music in it. It would be awesome. I'd listen to it, certainly. Glad to hear your take on the comic film adaptations. I'm not really interested in many of them, though I agree that Hellboy is extraordinarily good. Didn't read the comic, so I don't know if it keeps faith with the book. It does pretty well. It's not exactly the same, but, you know, it's hard to be exactly the same as a comic. Might just be that I like Del Toro so much. Any fan of Coffin Joe is a fan of mine. No, that can't be right. Rich goes on and talks a little bit about comics and some of the stuff that he has been reading recently. So excellent. You know, I find it notable. You know, Rich and I met because we were both working at a little rinky-dink kind of comic store in Fort Myers. And I was the manager, kind of basically speaking. I was the manager, and Rich was actually the one who sat in the store all day, except on days that he had off, which are Saturday. Pretty much just Saturday. But, they were good times. That was a long time ago now. It's just amazing to me how much quicker the years go now. I can't believe, you know, it's 2009, and that means that the piece in 85 was 25 years ago. Just incredible to me to think that that was so long ago. Pete would be very quick to point out that that was before he was born. I don't really feel like I'm that much older. You know, it doesn't seem like 25 years, but it is, you know, the life goes on. And I guess anybody over 30 can probably relate to how much faster life goes. Speaking of being over 30, a lot of the people who I went to college with now are turning 30 this year, or turned 30 last year. I can only imagine how they feel to think that, you know, I remember when I was at OU and thinking how much older I was than anybody else. Back then they were all, you know, 18, 19, 20, 21. And I started at OU right before my 35th birthday. So they're now getting dangerously close to the age that I was when I started at OU. Now, I kind of wonder if they think back and say, gosh, you know, I'm almost the age Tom was when he started. And do they really feel so old as they considered me when I was going there? Kind of fun to think about, really. But anyway, yes, I cackle in glee whenever one of them turns 30. Because now they're old like me. I should probably get back to the emails now. Oh, before I do that, I have noticed that the skipping has gone away. I talked about this a couple episodes ago, and I noticed that words were being cut in half and so forth. And interestingly enough, I don't think it was the setting in Audacity that was causing that. I don't think it had anything to do with the computer at all. I had a fan in my room. It was a Vornado fan, and I'd had the thing since I moved into this apartment, and so I've had this thing for 8 years. And the fan, I think, was causing the skipping somehow, because right after the fan burned out, and it burned out like the day after I made that podcast where I was talking about the skipping stopped. And I have a feeling what was happening is there was some sort of arcing or something going on in the motor of the fan, and that was causing it somehow. Because I got a new fan, and I haven't had that problem since, amazingly enough. So I honestly think that might have been that electrical motor in the fan going bad that was causing the computer issues I was having. I was having some other issues too, and I think that might have actually caused it. I'm not quite sure how, but you know, perhaps somebody who is more educated in things like electricity and that sort of thing can let me know. Anyway, moving on. I have an email here from Joe Morris at American Talk USA, and you can listen to Joe's show at AmericanTalkUSA.com. They upload a new show every Wednesday. Joe says, good show. He's talking here about episode number 22. Thank you, Joe. Indirectly, you and others in your camp were a topic of conversation on my Appalachian Trail trek last Friday. Really? gosh, you know, when I go hiking, I usually end up talking about things like how sore my feet are, mosquitoes, how much we hate white rabbits if the smoke is blowing our direction. Joe goes on to say, the Reader's Digest version is as simple as this. If an individual has selected the skeptical rational atheist route, choose appropriate tag here, at least they have made a choice. I'm going to kind of disagree with you here, Joe, because being a rationalist or being an atheist isn't really choosing something. I think it's unchoosing something. I don't know. Maybe I'm not. Maybe I can't really describe it well enough to talk about it. I'll try to think of a way to put it. Anyway, at least they have made a choice. As a worship leader at my church, sometimes it's frustrating to watch people that come to church regularly that do not worship. Yeah, I know what you mean. I know what you mean about that, Joe, and I saw it when I was in the church. Yeah, well, it's true of any organization, really. I think, you know, I mean, the various things I belong to, you know, the fraternity, some of the clubs that I've belonged to over the years, there's always going to be people who don't take an active part. And the people who are there, you know, purely for social reasons or whatever. Anyway, Joe goes on to say, the question was given along the lines with, why are you here if not to worship the risen Savior? But alas, nothing concrete ever comes from such a question. Mores hold some back. Lack of conviction weighs down others. Human worship is finite at best. Okay, well, I think you partially answered your own question, Joe. If somebody is coming to church and they do not worship, what do you think the reason is? Well, I think there's a couple very likely things here. One, I think that maybe the people at the church aren't reaching out to them. And I don't mean ignoring them necessarily, but maybe they don't feel engaged. And that certainly had been the case in different organizations. And when we were getting our fraternity started at Ohio University, and we didn't start the fraternity, we started a chapter of the fraternity. We had a member who just kind of sat in the background, didn't do much. And he didn't really engage with the rest of us. And I think that part of it was people didn't go directly to him and solicit his opinion. And he was a shy enough person that he didn't speak up. And as a result, he felt disconnected. So, you know, and now later that changed and he actually became very, very, very active. But so that could be part of it. The other thing is maybe they're not buying what you're selling. Maybe they're not really Christian, or at least in the sense of maybe they don't believe in the risen Savior. Maybe they're there for social reasons. That would be what my former pastor would have called a social Christian. And he used to kind of sneer when he'd say that, oh, they're a social Christian. You know, they're going there to be seen. Now, why would they do that if they don't believe in what's going on? Well, it could be the way they were brought up. It could be that they don't really believe in what the church is teaching. But they feel obligated to be there. And maybe there's a situation, and I don't know anything about your church, I don't know anything about the town you live in or anything like that, but I will tell you, there's a lot of people out there who really care what people think. So they're going to go to church so people can see that they go to church. And because if they don't go to church, then people will not think well of them. So keep in mind, you know, that this could be a societal thing. So they go to church, but they don't worship. Well, fine, you know. I wouldn't necessarily chalk it up to a lack of conviction. Necessarily. Now, it could be that they don't believe, but they do for social reasons. I mean, it's the environment perhaps that they were raised in. They go to church because that's what you do. You go to church. Going on, he goes on to a different subject here. You're right. We aren't different, but we are, and that's okay. Yes, I agree. And, you know, I'm far from me to condemn people for being different. I think that being different is what makes people interesting. If we were all the same, we all thought the same, it would be really, really boring. I would have absolutely no reason to do a show. Joe goes on, I had to get to a place in my life where I knew I could go no further, not by my own hand. Decadence of every sort in my behaviors, activities went further and further, and even farther over the edge. My moral compass crushed. I personally, quite simply, could not take any more of the abyss. It was deep and wide. I was broken by my own hand. And Christ, not necessarily the church, Christ became the logical alternative, the part that was missing. Okay, fair enough. So Joe is saying here that he was engaged in behaviors that he was not comfortable with. And he saw himself sort of in this downward spiral. Now, this is a story that I've heard many, many, many times. Not just from Joe, but also from people who were in my church back when I was a Christian. Now, I'm going to respectfully disagree, Joe. I don't think you needed Jesus to get out of those behaviors. You know, I don't believe that there was, you know, you talk about an abyss. What is that abyss? I would argue that that abyss is a lack of self-control. But you can come out of that just by asserting self-control. Now, if you need Jesus as an excuse to do that, well, yeah, no problem. You know, I've always said that if you're a violent, murdering rapist and you are inclined to that behavior and you become saved because you think that's the only thing that's keeping you from being a lying, murdering rapist, then I say bring on the Jesus, because I would rather see somebody be religious than be a lying, murdering rapist. But I honestly don't think you need religion or need Christ to change your behavior. Now, there's certain things, of course, that you can't change. You can't make yourself not right-handed or change the color of your eyes unless you wear, you know, special contacts, or your sexual orientation, you know, things of that nature. There are things that are inborn that you cannot change. And I give the example of a gentleman who joined the church when I was a Christian, who was a pathological liar. And it was a mental problem. I mean, obviously, what he really needed was probably, you know, psychotropic drugs or something, you know, some kind of therapy. He decided he was going to solve this problem by becoming a Christian. And unfortunately, and predictably, it didn't really help. You know, he was still a pathological liar. He was just a pathological liar for Jesus. And actually, I think it made it easier for him to be a pathological liar being in the church, because people just kind of tend to go along with what fellow Christians say sometimes. So let's moving on here in the email, because I'm kind of getting short on time now. Joe says, I agree with you about the attitude within the church body. Some people in my local church think my show is too close to the edge of decency, too much tension or innuendo between myself and Holly, that my outreach, I believe my show is a form of outreach, is not consistent with hardline Christian values. That may be, but if I can touch one person that a Christian lifestyle doesn't include a membership in the Frozen Chosen Club, then mission accomplished. Okay, well, I agree that you agree with me. honestly, Joe, you know, the notion that your show is too close to the edge of decency, I think is ridiculous. It's absolutely, it's asinine. I think your show is downright wholesome. And that's one of the reasons why I like it. You know, and I don't understand that at all. Too much tension or innuendo between myself and Holly. I don't really see that either, to be honest. You know, I see kind of a healthy friendship. Now, people are people. And, you know, people who get along with each other, you know, there's always going to be some level of tension. Innuendo? I don't see a whole lot of that. I mean, you know, good-natured teasing. Well, it, really, seriously, I mean, this is a case of people who are fuddy-duddies being fuddy-duddies. I don't see it from their point of view at all, obviously. You're talking about your believe your show is a form of outreach. Yes, I can see that. I don't think of my show as a form of outreach. Maybe it's because I really don't have an axe to grind as far as, I'm not trying to deconvert people. I want people to think for themselves. That's the point of my show. And maybe think that people should think about certain things from another point of view. Because quite too often, only one side of things are presented. And I know that you and I have a very basic philosophical difference. That's fine. And I don't have any problem with that at all. Like I said, you know, I've been there. I've been in the evangelical world. And I've seen the very attitudes that you're talking about. Now, I happen to not believe in this whole idea that you have to be associated only with Christian people or Christian ideas or have a podcast which is consistent with hardline Christian values in order not to be indecent. Because honestly, I don't see anything indecent about your show. I don't even see anything questionable about your show. It's a fine show. And I don't understand why people think that. Maybe it's just my own limitation. But I think you should just do your show the way you want to do it and not really pay much attention to what the fuddy-duddies want. And that's true of anybody who's doing their show, whether it's you or me or Ross Patzelt or Chris Reardon or any of us. So we're going to do the show that we're going to do, and the people who are going to like it are going to like it, and the people who don't are not. But I don't see anything wrong with your show, and I don't see anything wrong with my show. I don't agree in the whole idea of the slippery slope, because I don't think guilt by association is operable. I don't think it really is that important. And I know that this was very important in my church, that they would try to keep me from being friends with people, etc., because they weren't Christian. Well, I think they're just dead wrong. And I still, to this day, believe they're dead wrong. I didn't buy it then, and I don't buy it now. And I don't think that listening to other viewpoints is a bad thing. I mean, after all, I'm listening to your show, and I enjoy your show. So, sure. I'm glad you're enjoying my show and that you're listening. And I have to say, Joe, I really, really, really enjoy this dialogue with you. And there's certainly no need to think of it as an abyss, because I live in a small apartment. I don't have room for an abyss in here. In fact, I think I have a clause in my lease that says no abysses allowed in this apartment, and therefore I can't have any abysses on my show. Anyway, all silliness aside here, I think that it's important to if you disagree with somebody, to feel free to say something. I'll read it on my show if you don't agree with something I say. Now, I have a show coming up on Noah's Ark, which I think a lot of people might take exception to, you, people who are inclined to believe in it. And I hope that if they do disagree, that they will write to me and tell me, and then I can respond. And that's part of the dialogue going on. And I think that dialogue is almost always a good thing. And dialogue for its own sake can even be a good thing. Let's hash out the ideas. Let's get it all out there in the open. I mean, that's part of the thing that I like about podcasting, like I said before. So I am going to, wrap it up here. Getting a little bit short now on time. So thank you for listening. As I said before, you can always contact the show. Just send an email to tom@tomharrisusa.com. I always like hearing from people, so feel free to write in, and I'll read your mail out on the show. Anyway, I'm going to go ahead and wrap up the show now. Thanks for listening, and from Tom Harris at Tom Harris USA, have a great weekend, and I'll talk to you next time. Bye-bye.
Wow.